Call our meeting to order. First on our 10:15, we've got, I'm looking at One Beacon Insurance Policyholder Disclosure Notice of Terrorism Insurance Coverage. You're hereby notified that terror risk insurance is amended, that you have a right to purchase for losses arising out of acts of terrorism. So on and so forth. And this is what you're thinking, Danny.
We turned it down.
Turned it down before, and
that's how I remember turning it down last year.
The cost is $1,423. You remember that too?
I can't get the internet.
Okay.
Well, wait, that's right. We'll keep on going. I'll just text somebody.
So, any thoughts, discussion, direction?
The cost was what?
$1,423. Respective premium required for your terrorism coverage is $1,423. If you wish to reject this offer, you should check the box below, sign, send it in to your agent.
We had a discussion, as I remember, on this about the other coverage that we had. If there was a building that was damaged, that I'm going to make a motion that we deny.
Second.
Questions or comments, discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
I think the coverage was so that we don't have it so narrow on that entire deal that it almost, I mean, it does. There's some things that did apply, but we just have
it
to.
It has to be declared.
Because of, isn't it
by a
now?
State and federal agency that it was an act of terrorism.
Yeah. It's a big deal for it to be a terrorism act. So.
Right. And those were the reasons that we turned it down last year was the fact that it was, the scope of coverage was so narrow and had to be so defined by state and federal
right
agencies that
all right, what's the next one on the agenda? I haven't seen any maps.
It's 10:15, and here's this map here, and
right.
This is their layout of the actual.
But how they're gonna lay the pipe in the ground?
Pipe in the ground.
Just FYI, reading the second page here on our terrorism, it says, if I read it correctly, in Missouri, and it looks like about 20 states, you can't get out of it necessarily, and you do have coverage on fire, and that $855 of your policy goes to pay that, and you can't reject it. The portion of your policy premium attributable to terrorism. All states listed above in which your policy provides coverage is $855. This amount is included in your policy premium and cannot be rejected.
Okay.
So whatever that's worth. But we're rejecting the rest of it.
Right.
What we're rejecting. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So is this their main due line?
I just saw this for the first time here. So we're looking at the steel pipe. Is this the 1030 they're asking for easement? Is that what they're asking for? Or the contract? Has Bob seen the contract?
I've visited, but I don't know.
Okay.
I think he has, but talked to him about too many different things. Did visit with Randy a little bit.
Okay.
Danny, and he had seen the same picture you had of the greater man being burned. It's 4 feet that this line will be buried. One of the questions I have for him when we get started on this is how does, if somebody tees in, let's say they do a development or whatever, somebody decides to tee in, what kind of provisions are there as far as notifying us and the safety of that? Because if it's 4 foot in the ground, us hitting it doing road work isn't going to happen.
Right.
But if you got a connection someplace, that's something we need to be.
So it's really not going along any roadway, just crossing a bunch of roads. Is that correct?
No, it's my understanding, it's going along Sycamore Log Church Road, and it's going to go along Fall Creek Road, a short portion of Fall Creek Road.
Yeah, right here.
Right where the city's maintenance ends, where the road narrows up there, just past Ozark Mountain Bank.
Okay, here's the Fall Creek Road. This is where the bank is.
Randy had some concern we visited about that is, what if the road improved?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to guess how we might improve that road and relocating it was probably not a practical thing. Hopefully Randy will be here and add his thoughts to it. But anyway, after visiting it, it seemed a reasonable request there where it crosses Fall Creek Road and bore underneath.
Right. That's where it crosses Shepherd of the Hills and Roark Valley. I've seen him working already on Roark Valley. He's been trenching a lot there.
Oh, come to think of it, I think Randy's off today.
Should we ask Mr. Paulson to see if he's reviewed the contract?
Yeah, definitely, I would say.
Let me...
Can you run him down?
Let me just text...
Frank.
Yeah, text upstairs.
Julian said he was over at Sewer.
He's back from... Or he was back from when he left to go over there.
Larry said he would be able to make it at 10:30 instead of 11:30.
They're here. I saw them out on the... They may be hoping to meet outside since it's so nice. And three of them out there when I came in.
Before the blizzard comes in?
Yeah. You ready for the blizzard?
We are.
Somebody said this morning with that first meeting that they're forecasting 6 inches of snow for some place. There's Bob.
Have you seen the contract from the natural gas company?
No.
Okay. I haven't either. Okay.
My understanding, I have put on the agenda, and one was the...
No? We are?
Yeah. Terms and rejection forms.
We just did that.
Took care of that.
Yeah, that's, you need to do that. And the other one is the... Just approve the two corrections in the intergovernmental agreement with Hollister. There was an AUD added somewhere, and there was a wholesale put in front of customers somewhere else. You've already signed it. I just want some sort of vote saying it's still, they're just minor changes, and you're fine with them, basically. I have a second motion saying that you're...
This is the Hollister intergovernmental agreement you're talking about.
You've already signed it, but one of the aldermen had two minor changes.
Okay.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Why don't you hang out here if you can, since...
Motion for approval of the corrections and the SIR agreement with the intergovernmental agreement with Hollister.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we got that, and we got the insurance thing taken care of.
That was all I had for this morning. I was going over some easements for Archer and something.
Jillian said you were covering something at Sewer earlier.
Oh, I brought a fellow down to Sewer that wanted to get on the agenda.
Okay.
I think he'd come in to see you, and you weren't here, so he wanted on the agenda to talk about one of the projects, so I brought him down to the Sewer Department.
Who was that?
He was a guy with glasses. I don't think I ever got his name. He was here to see you. You'd taken care of some problem for him before.
Okay. Good. All right. We're also close to 10:30. We'll go ahead and start on our agreement conversation with natural gas. Do we have... have you all presented us an agreement to approve or look at? I mean, I know we have the maps. Is there anything other than that for us to look at?
Randy's, I had given an agreement to...
Randy, maybe?
Randy's been working on permit issues, and bonds, figuring out the total number of costs that the bonds should be.
When I talked to Randy last, he was talking about like he was going to be here, and he had made some changes to the agreement that I had given him, so I assume you guys are going to have it.
I've not seen that. Randy's not here today.
Randy's not here, and then our attorney hasn't seen it either. So
I have not seen the agreement. So
reckon we could get Randy on the phone, or do you know what the changes are, Larry?
Or do you have it in his office, maybe, Frank?
I can go look.
Why don't you go look at his desk real fast?
Briefly on the phone. I've not seen him.
Okay.
And I apologize. When they came in before on that Monday morning, I was meeting with Pat Keck and Jason Coatney on another matter.
I think I was in D.C., so. We've seen the road easements. I mean, that all looks pretty straightforward. I mean, if that's any consolation.
If I get an email, sit down here.
Send it to, we'll send it upstairs to one of our girls upstairs. They'll print it and bring it down to us. An email address? Is JRULON. I'm sorry, I'm going backwards. Sorry, try again. Jillian, JILLIAN, R, and then at co.taney.memo.w. She can print it.
My phone is
going to
1850. Yeah, that's right.
You want me to call somebody?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
Not sure what's the number.
417 886 7171.
Oh, they have Great River?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So while he's doing that, 3 foot or 4 foot is how deep the lines are buried, main lines.
And gentlemen, if you could speak in the microphone,
we're
recording things, and if there's anybody listening, I don't think there is right now, but just so we can have everything recorded.
Please. I've heard 3 and I've heard 4. And
yeah, it's actually going to be 3 feet to the top of the pipe.
Okay.
That's going to be minimum. That'll be minimum allowed. Typically, it's going to be deeper than that.
Right.
It really will. And especially if we're looking at the bottom of a ditch or something, you know, we'll, of course, consult with county staff to make sure that we're plenty deep. You never know. They may have decided to come along and clear out the ditch. You know, so what we're looking at may be a ditch that's already filled 2 feet tall, so we don't want to be shallow. So we'll make sure we're plenty deep.
Another question I had and visited with Randy earlier is when you all say you have to maintain the line or work on line after it's built, would there be a provision in the contract that says you'll notify Road and Bridge so that we know, not that we'd have anything to do with it, but if you're working alongside our road, I think it would be wise for the county to know ahead of time.
We always.
24 hours or something.
Unless there's an emergency, of course, we
sure.
Don't know about. But we would always make plenty of, because you know, that kind of maintenance or whatever doesn't happen just, you know, at a happenstance. It's well planned and would make sure that you're well aware of any kind of maintenance that would need to be. Take place there. Of course, we're part of the one call,
right?
The dig right, and so we've got an obligation too to call in 48 hours in advance. So I'm not quite sure if Taney County belongs to that or not, but either way, if they don't, we notify the county too.
I agreed with Danny. I think you all, some of you are here about. We'd seen a picture, or I haven't seen it, but others had seen a picture of a fellow on road grader being burned, you know, from an accident years ago. And the 3 or 4 feet, surely, that gives me a lot of comfort. The one question I have, though, is when you have a meter or ever how that works out, how are they protected? In other words, when the line's 3 foot in the ground, we don't have much to worry about, but if you've got a service coming off of there, how does that work? And so that we're coming along there with the road grader and there's a meter sticking up, how does that work?
Well, for the high distribution main, you know, we will be tapping into that fairly, or not very often.
Right.
There won't be very many taps off of that. As we get into communities and into the county, into the rural county, with distribution lines, those will typically be polyethylene lines. As we come off of a main, we put what we call an excess flow valve in there. So unless it's a main situation, if they get into service line situation, there's an excess flow valve there to shut the gas of flow or the flow of gas off in case, you know, in the case of the line severed. Now, in the case of a main situation, a lot of these lines that you see were graders, and I know it's pretty infrequent that happens, because it is probably the safest product out there, natural gas, and the distribution system that's there. But typically, I wouldn't anticipate that happening in the county at all, any of those kind of things where a grader hits a line and ignites it, burns the grader up or something like that. So, and the other thing, at the meeting yesterday, I touched on that there'll be adequate training as far as first responder training, the emergency officials. Of course, the commissioners will all be invited to come to that training. There'll be notices, public awareness notices in the mail, of which you'll get copies of. The schools will carry on safety training at the schools, that sort of thing. So,
let's say the line that at Fall Creek, the short line there where you're going to go, you're requesting to be on our right of way. Mm-hmm. You're going to bore under the road there, I understand. And on the other side of the road, there's a subdivision. Let's say that you're going to provide gas to those people. Mm-hmm. Will there be any part of the line in our right of way that's above the road, or is that all going to be underneath? Anyway, the picture I've got in my mind is I see meters different places.
Okay.
And will those be above ground on our right, on the county right-of-ways?
May I show Dave that location on the map?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not real exactly.
Real quick, just so you know, there won't be any meters on state or county right-of-way.
Okay.
So there will be no meters. Anytime there's a service line that goes up to business or house, that meter will be on private property.
Well, that's, as I started talking here today, I'm wondering, that would make sense that it would be on the private property instead on the right of way.
Anybody's meter will be on private property, either for building or even without that road, it'll still be on private property. So we won't have that. Those structures above ground there.
So you tap into the line, let's say, down the road, it's going to be underground, and it's going to get over on private property before it comes up.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
That's correct. And actually, Larry was showing me a place, an example where you gave the example of the subdivision that's there. We'll put in what we call a regulator station, but it will be an above-ground appurtenance, but it'll be off in the private right-of-way. Larry had said that we've required private right-of-way for that station to set on. And so anyway, and then once it leaves that station, it'll leave into a distribution poly line, polyethylene line that extends to these homes. So the meters will all be, typically meters will all be attached to the house 99.9% of the time. So it'll be secured to the house. And
I assume there's mapping. You're going to have GIS mapping whenever you have a location like that we'll have access to.
We will have, very thorough GIS maps that we'll supply to the county. So,
I'm running out of questions.
Well, I had spent some time with Mike Lumbee a year ago or so to understand the safety and the precautionary side of the natural gas. I believe he had talked about, even talking about having the safety class with our road and bridge employees just to make sure that they understand if they do come in contact with an exposed pipe what to do and when in time there's road work to make sure that the maps are all current. And so from that aspect, from a safety perspective, as long as we follow the procedures that you guys give us, there shouldn't be any issues. Is when we violate the rules, you know, that's dangers of the greater burn-ups and all that.
Yeah.
And I think you guys did a real good job about how you're intersecting the road easements and roadways. So, you know, from that aspect, I'm real comfortable with your layout and what you presented from the road. So, I mean, I'm real comfortable with what you guys are presenting. Mm-hmm. Knowing the safety side of it, and of course our guys on the road and bridge group, making sure that they're educated and informed, and then you guys do your part with letting us know when you're working the easements, which is you probably have a normal procedure and a process for that anyway. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm comfortable with all that. Only we have a little issue is our attorney hasn't seen the contract, and he has to review everything before we approve everything.
Oh, sure.
Eddie Cox, he doesn't have it. We don't have it upstairs.
Okay. So we just, what we're doing is...
Julian should have received it by now.
Okay. Is this a copy of it?
No.
Okay. I'll get Julian to print one out. And she may be listening right now, and she can print it out. But what that'll do is this week, if we go through all these questions, we can easily vote and approve it if the contract awarding's proper and all that. But
well, I got some questions.
Go ahead.
When we, as we understood from different work sessions that we've had, that the main concentration is going to be trying to involve CFO school, the high schools, schools in general throughout the county. When you come to a sewer line or a water line that... as we look now, I think they have on their, I think they're boring 3 feet and 4 feet. I think their line, that line at Kirbyville is 4 feet. Do you know, Bob, in review, do you remember?
I don't remember how deep they are.
But
I know
on both sides of the road, we have water and sewer lines.
Yes.
What do you, how do you guys go about your lines when you approach other utilities?
Typically, we, of course, conference with the county and to see what their requirements are. And most of the time when they're that, at that level, 3 feet, 4 feet, we typically go under them, and there's a certain amount of clearance that's required. That varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but we want plenty of clearance, too. We don't want to have to, mess with the sewer line while we're trying to do something on our gas line. The one thing that I need to say is that this gas line is going to be a state-of-the-art line. It's going to be designed so that it can be what we call smart-pigged, where we throw a device in it, and it'll go along it. It'll show where there's any weak spots, any voids, any pits in the pipe, whatever it may be. It's going to be cathodically protected. Yeah, it's going to be regularly maintained. And so it's designed to last 100 plus years easily. And so we're putting everything in place so we can maintain that line so we do get the longevity out of it that's expected. It's going to be way past me caring, but I care for future generations. And so anyway, it's something that's going to be very well designed.
Cost factor for you guys, where I'm leading to with my question is, okay, when we have sewer lines and we enter the Fall Creek area and we enter the other areas where we have reconstruction of, actually we have reconstruction of water lines going on right now in the Kirbyville area and increased size of sewer lines and in certain areas, I know we keep going back to it, we'll inform the county and this
okay.
and that, but that's, this,
oh.
this lays different than that. This lays
sure.
than the responsibility of the contractor, whoever's doing.
Well, when we're in county right-of-way, it will be our obligation to meet whatever the county dictates. And so, if the county's looking at expanding a road and our pipe's underneath that road, and they don't want it there, it's our job at our expense to move that pipe outside of that road. Or if it's in the way of a sewer line, whatever it may be, if you're looking at putting a large sewer line in, that's right, our pipe's right in the middle of that path, it's our obligation to move that pipe. It's at our expense.
You're working with the sewer district and the water district on their easements as well, so it might not
that's
be
correct.
A county easement.
That's right. Yeah, we are.
That's good.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was one concern. Randy and I visited a little bit. Hopefully someday we're going to improve Fall Creek Road, and how it'll be improved has not even been really talked about, so we may need you to move that down the road. Mm-hmm. Who knows how many.
You want to widen it to the west.
Yeah.
The creek is there pretty close too, so that wasn't all in jest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm getting close to being comfortable. The one other issue, and we've talked about this a lot, literally for years, is the agreements we're talking about entering into, or the agreement that you've got already, is specific to the plans that you've given us, which is at Fall Creek and Sycamore Church Road.
That's correct.
And we're not giving you a blanket type of easement or anything like that.
I don't believe so, right? I mean, I believe at any point we decide to ever tie onto that and extend it or go somewhere else with it, which is a real possibility, you know, to tell you the truth, because...
Come up to the mic here if you would. The question is, what we're talking about today is only where you're wanting to go on Fall Creek Road and Sycamore Log Church Road.
That's correct. There will be exhibits that show specifically where the locations are, where we're going to be on the right-of-way, and what was sent down to Julian. Of course, I haven't seen it, but there should be exhibits with it.
Right.
Unless he sent the Word document. But regarding Sycamore Log Church, we're going to be on the back side of the sewer that's over there, because it gets too close to the road for us to be between the sewer and the road. So rather than zigzag back and forth, we're just are going to stay on the back side. So the only place we're really looking at is Fall Creek Road.
It's just a small section anyway.
It's a small section of Fall Creek Road, and we get into the city of Branson pretty quick after we come into the county, and that's how there's so little impact on your roads.
Right.
But there will, like I said, that if we get to the point where we need to extend or go somewhere else and we need county right away, we'll be in here again.
Okay.
You know, so it's not a blanket.
So I'm repeating myself, but anywhere you're going to be on county right away, the line's going to be 3 feet below the ground.
Yes.
That's the minimum.
Minimum, I should say, right?
Okay.
What about other places where you're not in county right away, but you are on private property, or
that's pretty well state, a standard.
You're state regulated.
We are state regulated
on depth and on
federal too.
On everything. Well, yeah, state and federal. We're regulated by the federal DOT since it is a high pressure pipeline, and it.
Which is the strictest to comply with, and how many feet do they make you go down?
The state, by far, is the strictest to comply with. The federal has its regulations, and the state can implement additional regulations. Missouri is well known throughout the United States for implementing some pretty strict regulations.
And what's Missouri's depth minimum?
Actually, it's 24 inches.
Yeah.
If all we have to be is 24 inches deep, we choose to be 36. So.
So I can't really imagine us being at 36, to tell you the truth. It'll be deeper than that. But there could be some situations where you run into some extremely hard rock or whatever it is, and we're gonna be 36, but I would think that potential exists here in the county. So
rock's not too hard here, is it?
If I wanted to make a motion to approve pending your approval, is that safe, or you'd rather just wait, look at the contract and then make the motion, what would you like to do?
I'd rather see the contract, but if you want to make a motion to approve it in concept and then approve the contract later, that's fine. But I'd rather look at the contract before you approve the contract.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm leaning toward it. I mean, I'm comfortable with what the layout is and all that. Just there's a formality of having the attorney look at the contract.
I understand that.
So, I mean, we could just
I'd entertain a motion that. Concept that mentions the minimum 3 foot and Bob's review, something like that would be good for me.
Okay. How do I want to word that then? I'll move that we approve the request for easements for natural gas with the minimum depth being 36 inches, pending our attorney's review of the contract. How's that?
Specific
to the designated area.
To the designated easement request.
At Fall Creek and Sycamore.
And the contract will be approved
after review.
You get
get all that? You might have to listen to that one back.
How's that work for you guys?
That works great.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And we'll try to make that happen first of the week. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, as soon as we get it and Bob reviews it. I mean, first part of next week, I would think.
Well,
we hadn't received it yet. Just to let you know. I just got a text and hadn't received it yet.
It'll have to be Monday of next week.
Right. Great Rivers, your engineer, correct? So we have a relation with Great Rivers. So we'll get, is it Spencer or Mel or?
Bruce is actually
Bruce. Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Questions or comment?
This is just sort of a heads up. I'm okay with, as a county workforce, working around gas lines. One of them, my name is Frank Preston, Road and Bridge.
Yes.
One of the concerns I have is that we find in our county right-of-way, on a very regular basis, people digging in the road, in the ditch lines, and not notifying us at all. The way we find it is just driving across it. So one of my concerns would be, how would you mark your lines in the field? And the polyethylene line, will it have a tracer wire?
It will.
Okay.
And of course, we put plenty of line markers on. And we have a program where we go back on a regular basis to ensure that they're there. They've got our phone number. They've got the one call number that's on there. So I can't imagine somebody digging anywhere near one of these pipes and not realizing it's there.
How what's the spacing of your markers?
I guess that varies somewhat depending on visibility. I think the state here wants to be able to stand at one marker and see the marker upstream, the one downstream. Mm-hmm. That's usually how it goes, but it's pretty frequent. I don't know how many.
Yeah, they sure. Want to answer a
question. No, that's fine. Yeah,
pretty comfortable with that.
Okay.
First of all, like Dave said, we put a pipeline marker sign. First of all, at every fence, every road, every bridge, every creek, every major crossing, so we know we have one there. They're yellow pipeline marker signs. Some can be round. Triangular or flat post, but they have a sticker on there that has the name of our company, Southern Missouri Natural Gas, and 1-800 phone number. And it says, Berry Pipeline below, Natural Gas Pipeline below, please call before digging. Okay? So there'll be one at every gate. You know, say, just before running line alongside, there's a gate, the post, each will have one at every gate. So somebody says, well, I'm going to put a new gate in, you know, I'm going to build a new fence, I'm going to put a, whatever they're going to do around a road or lane, we always have one there. Then we, like David said, we have to have them, we'll push down the space where you can visually see one to the next. Now, a lot of that depends on the terrain and the trees and stuff that we're in, too. But we'll have a ton of these pipeline marker signs up. And we have to regulate those every year and make sure that, you know, if they get mowed over or something happens to them, something else is important along the county right-of-way. It's important that we get them off your right-of-way and up against the fence or a telephone pole or a street sign, something, so when your folks are out there mowing or driving around, they're not running these things over. So it's important we keep them up out of the way. As far as all the utilities, and obviously that's a huge concern, it is mine too. I'm putting together a letter right now that I'm going to send out to the county, city, state, all utilities, phone, power, cable, sewers, water districts, everyone. And we'll have a big meeting with everybody together. We'll give everybody maps pertaining to areas we'll be impacting their utilities. And then I'd like to have weekly meetings, at least. It would be weekly meetings set up this whole project, like for your folks, Road Bridge, and whoever else the utilities to come and work and be impacted in that area. So you can come, we'll be able to sit down in a weekly meeting and discuss any issues that you have. And I think that'll make things flow a lot better. Plus, it'll allow all the utilities to be able to gear up and say, okay, I'll to do the locates while they're working in these areas. So we'll be, it's good. We're going to be a huge impact here, obviously. So we want to try to make it flow as smoothly as possible.
What's the degree of accuracy for your line locates? Is it like water 18 inches either side? Or
yeah, we got, I mean, the 3-1 call requires it to be 24 inches.
Okay.
Wherever our locate is, we've got a 24-inch window to either side.
Okay.
I tell you what, it depends on who's doing the locate. If I'm doing it, it's going to be on. But we do have a 24-inch window from the center of that mark, either side of it.
Will you be subcontracting out the locate, or will you have a company rep doing the locate?
No, there'll be a company rep.
We have company reps doing those. Okay. And we will be on site. If you're digging near the steel line, we'll have somebody there all the time, maybe 24 hours if we need to, until whatever construction is complete.
Just a recommendation, after you get up and running, it might behoove you to make contact with all the local excavating companies that do a lot of underground work. And
that's part of the public awareness plan that we have to do, and it's contractor notification. And we've got a special pamphlet we send to them every year. We're part of another organization in the state that we partner with that helps us do that. It's nice because every contractor calls in and locate, and they dare not to anymore. They just have to. But they call and locate, we know who that customer is. We have a mailing address, so we can regularly send them mailings. So,
yeah, the Public Service Commission requires that actually the PSC sends out a list to all contractors every year in the areas that we're involved in, and we have to send out information to them. And the cities, counties, all emergency will be notified yearly. You know, what to do if you smell gas, what to do if you, hear a leak or smell a leak or whatever, contact information. And like Dave was saying, it's called PAMS, Pipeline Association of Missouri. You guys might be familiar with that. They will be in the area once a year and put on a big to-do, and everybody be invited to it. All utilities, the county, and emergency responders be invited to it. There'll be a dinner. SMG will be there. And it's just kind of a big question and answer session. So it's a pretty neat deal.
Gentlemen, I'm extremely cautious with... I'm for what you're trying to do. I'm extremely cautious about the fact that we have cable cut, fiber cut. We have all these situations that happen with everything supposedly in place. Call, contact, check, all the things that happen, and we have cable breakdowns and cuts throughout the county. When you have terrain like we have, and you have a bank on a road that's 3 or 4 feet that you got to build a road up across, and you dig down 3 feet, but we still got to have a contoured slope of so many feet at a certain level. I have a lot of concerns, and then I also have a question about what happens and what kind of regulations do you have for the people that have to cross your line after your line's in. That in itself is something that we need to know before we enter into an agreement. Is if someone needs to cross your gas line, what kind of regulations or what kind of pipe sleeve? Yeah, you understand where I'm going with what I'm telling you. We have fiber cuts that cost thousands and thousands of dollars to get replaced. And we've took every precaution that we think necessary. So I have a little bit of a problem with, and I know that natural gas is going to save these schools, and it's going to save everybody lots of money once it's installed. My obligations to the citizens of this county is to make sure that you answer those questions before we approve it.
Okay.
And that's where I'm at with the...
Well, I can say right now, I'm going to be responsible for the construction. And will there be lines cut? Yes, there will. So if I stood here today and told you we're not going to cut one single line, I'd be lying to you. So throughout this project, there's going to be cable lines cut. Now, I'm not sure if there's going to be fiber, because they generally have a fiber setter there watching you as you cross it. Same as us. When somebody's going to cross our gas line, you guys or whomever is doing the digging is going to call them locates. We require that one of our company personnel is on site while the digging is going on to help locate it, get down in the ditch, whatever we need to do. Because as they cross that pipeline and they expose it, we have to inspect that pipeline and do a documentation on it and turn it in as Public Service Commission requirements. So we have to inspect that pipeline when it's exposed.
Okay. Now, that's good information. Okay. I just want to know what the cost is to the consumer that's crossing.
There's no cost, and there's we don't really have any requirements as far as clearance. Of course, you know, here again, the state says a prudent operator would make sure that there is some clearance in there between our utility and another utility that's there. And so, but it's not going to be something unreasonable. You know, like the railroad says, bore under 20 feet underneath of us or something, 25 feet underneath of us. We're not anywhere near that. Would say, look, get us a foot of clearance. But I guess a lot of it depends on what they're putting in. You know, if they're putting in a great big sewer line or whatever it is. You know, but even at that, you know, I guess I don't see a reason for it to be more than a foot.
Right.
Well, it's something ridiculous, and we're pretty reasonable, you know, folks, and we're not going to throw a bunch of rules out there that's difficult for everybody to live with.
With what we're approving, we've got a limited area, and we've got time to, I guess, use any other term other than check your responsibility in the area that you're putting this in to voice concerns for any future line that you might want to put in. So I don't think my questions are out of line. I think they are something that the public would want to know itself, especially contractors and builders and developers and all those things. So.
Yeah. They'll be excited. I mean, contractors, that they deal with underground every day. And any contractor, developers, if he's going to build something, you say there's natural gas there. And
that's their energy of choice.
That's
so.
It right there.
So.
Ready to vote?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Gentlemen, thank you for your patience with us. And we, like Danny said, we're just trying to be careful. And
thank you. I understand.
We're very glad that you're bringing natural gas to us. Mm-hmm. Wish you well.
Bob Paulson is your contact for as the attorney. I mean, and make sure we'll get. We're going to call for just a 1 minute recess. We can get him walking up there to
sure.
Bob's and all that.
Take a 1 minute recess. Maybe two.
2 minutes.